come and sing. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came. This on a Wednesday night, don't we? Just to worship the Lord and just to get into His presence and forget about all the things outside. Amen. We just have a few written requests. We want to continue to remember Brother Joseph while he's away, and Brother Daniel Gibson Danner, and Brother Ron, and Brother Terry, and Sister Vicki, and also we want to remember Sister Debbie Miller in prayer tonight. She is homesick, so we'll remember her. And I'm sure there's other needs. If you just make those known by an uplifted hand, God sees what our needs are in this service tonight. Amen. Brother George, come tonight, if you will, buddy. Lead us in prayer.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh God, what an honor it is to be here tonight, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the, Lord, this midweek service, Lord. It's just, it's an encouragement, Lord, to get us through the week, Father. And Lord, is to help prepare us, Lord, for the rest of this battle that we're going to be fighting, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for allowing us a place to come to, Lord. And Lord, providing a place of a fellowship and of refuge, Father. And Lord, we thank you that we have the ability to lift these requests to you tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for our minister brothers, Brother Ron, Lord, and Lord, we pray for our pastor. We just ask that you would strengthen him, Lord, and rest him, Father, and Lord, recharge him, as it were, Father. And we just pray, Lord, not that just his family, Father, we ask that you would be with them, Lord Jesus. And oh God, give them, Lord, give them a charge, we pray, Father. Lord, we ask you for the needs that's represented here, Lord, the spoken and the unspoken. Lord, we ask that you would just, Lord, meet each need tonight, Father. Lord, in a special way, Lord. And Lord, in a way that we understand that it's you, Lord. It's your presence, Lord, that has made the way for us, Father. And Lord, this service tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd bless the songs. Lord, bless Brother Mark as he sings, Lord. Bless Brother Jonathan as he preaches this message tonight, Lord. We ask that, oh God, that you'd give him anointing, Lord, and power, Lord. And Father, that you would not just anoint him, but Lord, anoint us to receive tonight, Father. Lord, that we could grow, Lord, in the nurture, Lord, and admonition of the Lord, we pray. And Lord, we ask you that you'd watch over it now. Bless us all together, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. God bless you now.
Are you ready to worship the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's sing this together. I think it's in E flat. Well, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my trusting. tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies, for the Master looks on at the strife. We feel no alarm. We're living by faith in Jesus alone. Amen. Let's sing this. King. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it. The blessing of bread. Oh. Time is filled with swift transition. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we can hold to God's unchanging hand? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. My wife and I, we were working in this really nice house this week, way above all of our pay grade levels. And you know what? When I got home, I said, I am so content to be right here in my house. Because you know what? After these people get that house, it gets old and paint needs to be redone. They got to find another one that's bigger and better. But we have one that's waiting on us. It can't be no better. Eyes have not seen, nor has ears heard what God has got in store for His children. I'm just homesick, aren't you? Just ready to get out of this old sin-cursed world and just keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. We'll let you have your seats. We have our brothers come tonight and receive the evening offering you just give to the Lord. After service tonight, I'd like to see a few people. I'd like to see Brother Matt. I'd like to see Brother Casey. I'd like to see Sister Audrey and Sister Ashley and Sister, you know your name, Abby. Thank you, Mark. It finally came to me. And Sister Samantha and Sister Caden and Sister Emma. And we'll just meet back in the choir room after service tonight, all right? Let's sing this together. I believe it's in B flat.
Oh, I believe God. I believe God. And it shall be done. Even as He said, trust and obey. Just look up and say, oh.
I believe God. I believe God. Whatever He said, that's what it's going to be. Amen. Did I mention Sister Carol? If I didn't, Sister Carol as well. Amen. Brother Ben, come ahead and sing for us tonight. You and Sister Samantha, if you want to. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Like this one time. Put your hand up and say, Lord, let the light shine upon
me. Amen.
We have seen his star and we have come to worship. And he said, those wise men came and he said, surely we go to the Jews. They can tell us where to find him. And said they was going up and down the streets screaming, where is he? Born King of the Jews. They didn't know. But God just showed them the light and they had to get out of there. And when they got out of there, God showed them the light again. They know right where to go, to little Bethlehem. Amen. Aren't you so glad that you're able to see the light of this hour? So many people are in darkness, but we are so blessed. God honored us, this little piece of clay, to see the light of this hour. We just can't thank him enough and just give him enough honor and enough praise for his blessings to us. It could have bypassed us so easy. Oh, but we heard that voice one day. I was just so attracted to us. That's the truth. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Jonathan's preaching tonight, not me. Amen. I know you can say praise the Lord to that. Amen. I can't even hardly sing, let alone try to preach. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. I think it's in the key of C.
Feel this voice. Shine your light on my darkness, satisfy and restore my soul. I long for you, make me whole, come quench this thirsty, Lord.
Brother Joseph told me to Sunday, and I completely forgot amongst everything else. So we just, I thank you for your prayers for our meeting that we had back in Labor Day. And I shared this with Brother Joseph. He wanted me to share it with you. And I tell you, God's still moving. Yes. And he's moving. You know, we heard Brother Ben testify from all across the country. God is on the move. Yes. It's just whether we want him to move or not. It's whether we want him to move for us. And Brother Sam Parker there, he was with us that one Sunday, and they sung for us, sends his greetings to all of you, and he truly appreciated his time here. But, you know, I try not to go out anywhere unless I feel like I'm really called. And I really felt like it was on my heart before he ever asked me that he was going to ask me, and he asked me. So we went out there, and they've been having church now for 2 years. It was their two-year anniversary, but trying to make this real short. I'm nervous because I ain't preaching right now. So, there was their two-year anniversary meetings, and they're having in a senior citizen building and small group, about 35, 40 people. 85% of them's off the street, never heard of the message until they come into this church. And it's just on fire, and they just believe anything's impossible, or anything is possible, and I believe the same. And they've really had it on their hearts to find a church, and they had two or three things happen to this one particular building that they thought was theirs that made it look mockery, like it was almost a joke that it wouldn't happen. And so they had they took up an offering the Sunday before we was there. They took up an offering for a church building. And immediately following service, the guy walked in and says, "I want to sell you that church now." And he was the head over the Methodist. It's a Methodist church. And he's with us, and it's like, well, you know, I mean, it's all fine and dandy, but we're poor people. We just can't. It's a three-quarter to an acre lot with the church is about the size of the sanctuary in the back here with a full fellowship hall out to the side that's got Sunday school rooms in it, a full kitchen and everything. And so Brother Sam had told me this, you know, and be praying for him. I didn't think much about it. Saturday while I was preaching, I heard myself saying these words that the church, you're afraid that you can't afford it, but God makes things affordable for you. Yeah. We was coming home Monday. Sunday evening, the guy texted him and told him that he wanted to meet with him Monday. We're driving home Monday when they have their meeting. Long story short, they sold him the church, the fellowship hall, and the land for $1,000. $1,000. And then they told him, they said, if that's too much, we can lower the price. And then they said, well, that's not all. Says, the church is a little old. Brother Sam, you're a contractor. Said, we want you to put a bid in to put a new roof on the fellowship hall and the church and repaint it to whatever colors y'all want, and we're paying for that. Come on, people. And then I thought, you know, there's just millions upon millions. I mean, we had testimony after testimony. Brother Nathan, Carol was sharing with me on the way to church. Remember Sister Haven? She's been in a battle. She's a battle every day of her life. And I'm coming down the road, and I'm trying to pray for tonight's service. And I thought, well, what would I say? Because which testimony would you use? We had four baptisms. One of them was in a tape church for over 30 years. Wanted to re-baptize and dedicate her life to God. Two others was youth that was baptized. One of the others was born and raised a Catholic, married a message believer that was backslidden and had been just struggling like you crazy, would not come into Jesus' name. God woke her up Friday morning at 4 o'clock and told her to be baptized. Her testimony, God woke me up and told me to be baptized.
Amen.
I didn't know that. And Friday, I made the comment, isn't our God so mindful that he'll wake us up in the wee hours of the morning to tell us what we need to do. She liked to bulldoze me and Brother Sam after service. She wanted to be baptized. But you know, I thought Brother Nathan, I thought Sister Haven and struggling in her condition, in her lungs. There's one more, and we'll go into the word. But 72-year-old man, triple amputee. He's got a left arm's all he got. He's got so many testimonies. God's done so much for him. And he wasn't at church Friday or Saturday night because the doctor told him not to get out because he was so sick in his lungs. He's got two or three different diseases. He can't breathe. He can't be around people. His daughter-in-law pretty much forced him to come to church Sunday morning. She went to his house, knocked on his bedroom door, and said, you better be decent because I'm coming in to get you. You're going to church. They come into church. They got there 15, 20 minutes into the sermon. He enjoyed it. He come up for prayer afterwards. He rode up for prayer. And you know, it's happened before, but it's something special when you can relate to the Bible. And when Jesus and that woman touched the hem of his garment and he felt strength leaving. When he come up for prayer and he couldn't even mutter words. I didn't know what was going on. He couldn't even mutter words. He's just crying. And he reached up and he grabbed his one good hand. He grabbed my hand. And I just started praying. And he grabbed my hand and he pulled it into his chest. And when he pulled it into his chest, I like to pass out. And Brother Matt, his son-in-law, was standing behind me. He caught me. And I went into prayer and he started shouting. He got back to his seat. After when Brother Sam started closing service, he said, look, I've just got to tell y'all. He says, I went up there because I can't breathe. It's been over 30 years that I can breathe straight. And he says, I grabbed Brother Jonathan's hand, and when I pulled it to my chest, I felt fire run through my lungs. And says, I feel better today than I felt in 30 years. God still moves. Amen. So stand with us. Oh, God, but it's just, God is in the healing business. We keep him. Musicians, you may be seated. I'm sorry. Amen. But we keep him from doing all that he wants to do. We hinder the work of God. In our own mental states, we hinder God. And that's not what we're going tonight. But let's go, if you get your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah 40, 1 Corinthians 9, and Hebrews 12. And 1965, and knoweth it not. Brother Branham, in this message, he makes this one little comment. I want to use it tonight if we can. He said, let's think of the Laodicean church age and its condition today. As far as I know, and very familiar, I know we all have heard this a million times. As far as I know, I don't see anything to hinder at this time the coming of the Lord Jesus outside the readiness of his church. I think that one of those prophecies, he goes on down, but let's just read some scripture and we'll try to take a text by God's help this evening. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, very familiar again, I know. Scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23, reading down just two or three, four here, says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Amen. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now they that do obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth in the air. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means which I have preached to others, that I myself be a castaway. Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and it is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, once again we find ourselves an opportunity to hear from you, Lord. Not from an individual, Lord, not from one or the other, but, Lord, for you to come take preeminence tonight, Lord. Lord, that you would move a body aside, Lord, because your word said by the foolishness of preaching, Lord. Your word said if a submitted, humble vessel that you would speak through a man and speak to your people. Lord, allow myself, Lord, the ability, Lord, to step aside. Lord, would you move for us this evening and speak to us, Lord. And Lord, we ask you these things in your lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And you be seated. Amen. I thought tonight, Lord, it says, if I was to title it, and I'm not the best titler, I'm not a scholar, but it's the bride's time. Right. Look, we're in a race, children of God. And this race was set before us before the foundation of the world. And it started through every example. And we can look at the scripture, and I look at Hebrews 12 as we would read it, and I would see we're compassed with a great cloud of witness. And I believe all of those from the ages have run their race. They have run their course. They have fought the fight. They have fought the battle. But now they need us to be made perfect. And they need us to finish that race. And God saved the best for the last. He saved the best children for the last. He saved the best bride for the last. He saved the best warriors for the last. And we've come to this end time, and we don't need to get weary in our running now. We don't need to get weary in our stand for the gospel now. We don't need to get weary and realize that this is the time for the bride. This is the time for you and I to take control of the reins, to take the word of God and become a manifestation of what that word says. We got so many people focused upon this and that and this and what did the prophet do and what did the prophet say? What are you going to do as the bride? Are you going to hear the prophet's word? Are you going to listen to what the prophet said? Are you going to manifest what the prophet said? Come on, children of God. I've said it so many times that sometimes I think it bears repeating. If the three Hebrew children wouldn't have stood before the golden image of Daniel, they would not have manifested what their prophet had said. That prophet said that days are coming, children. It's coming into fruition, and you must not bow to that image. But it took an example. It took a runner. It took a fighter. It took somebody willing to take the sacrifices out of their life, take the persecution from the world, and say, I'm not going to stand for the devil anymore. You know why the devil has his way in your life? Because you let him. Children of God, you have more power in you than the devil has in all that he has. It's time for a pride to stand up and say, it's my time. It's my time to fight. It's my time to run. Look, it's wonderful to look at the Old Testament story and draw conclusions and draw examples. But unless you do something with it, it means nothing before God. Look, that's all the denominations around the land, that's all they have anymore. They go back and they, oh, how great it was that David slew the lion with the stone. Oh, it was great. But let me tell you something greater. There's a bride living in this day that is standing against every hell of the devil, that is standing against every spiritual persecution there is. And she's standing today casting demons out of her home, casting demons out of her family, saying, this is the word of God that I stand on. What is it? Look, the scripture says there's coming a day and time where there'll be a famine in the land. And that famine won't be for food or water. Well, there's more food and water in this land than there's ever been. Look, everybody in here is probably going to stop and get something to eat on the way home. We eat too much. We drink too much. There ain't going to be no famine of food in the land. But the scripture says it's a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Not of the hearing of all the denominations. Look, we're more spiritual now than we've ever been. We're more religious now than we've ever been. But we lack the hearing of the word of God. No wonder the devil wants you to stay out of church. Come on. No wonder the devil don't want you to come to church. No wonder the devil wants you just to listen to what he wants you to listen to and play which tape he wants you to play. No wonder the devil wants you to be consumed by some hierarchy to tell you what you can and can't do. No wonder why. Because he's got you trapped in an heaven. But you know what? The body of Christ, it's her time to shine. It's her time to shine. It's her time to smile. It's her time to be happy. It's her time to shout the praises. It's her time to say, I'm ready to run my run. I'm ready to run the race that you set before me. I'm not scared of what the enemy has in store. Look, come on. Y'all know I'm simple and human, so we can just go back down for a minute. But don't confuse yourself in thinking that the three Hebrew children didn't have thoughts. They had thoughts. They knew that if their God didn't come on the scene, they was going to die. They knew there was going to be an issue in their life if something did. Come on, children. There's something going to happen if our God don't stand. But he said, you stand for me. I'll stand for you in that day. I'm just going to take my chances. I feel pretty good about it. Because I've got a witness of a cloud of witnesses around me. I've got Noah standing there saying, let them throw rotten tomatoes at you all they want to. But if God said it, he's going to do it. If he said he was going to send the flood, he's going to send the flood. Look, Noah had doubts too. He was human like we was. We're trying to get us to a place to realize they wasn't so super spiritual that they didn't have false doubts like you and I have, but they was able to dig down on the inside and say, there's something in me that's greater than he that's in the world. I got Moses standing there saying, you know what? I couldn't do it, but let me tell you what God did for me. Come on, children of God. I got Moses standing there saying, I couldn't even speak, but God gave me somebody to speak for me. I couldn't even pick up the stick, but he made a dead stick come alive. What is it? He said, it's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Little children of God, we need to step out by faith and realize it's our time to shine. It's our time to be written disciples of the bride. It's our time to be written disciples of the word in our last day. It's our time not to sit down and go, well, I wish somebody else would praise the Lord. I wish the bride would praise the Lord. Come on, church. I wish the bride would praise the Lord. I wish the bride would sing the songs of Zion. I wish the bride would say amen to the word of God, because there's something striking on the inside. Look, them three Hebrew children would do what they did. I don't think they was ashamed to say amen to Prophet Daniel when he was preaching. When Daniel was up there blasting them critics, I don't think they was afraid to be his amen corner. Come on, there's a bride that's not afraid to be his amen corner. There's a bride that's not afraid to say amen to the word of God and say, that is who I am. He's speaking of me tonight. But we're living in this day now that there's a famine for the true word of God. You know, no wonder they want to take preachers out of the pulpit. They don't want anything Holy Ghost inspired. Come on, church. Come on, church. That's the spirit we're fighting. It's fighting some of your minds right here tonight, or I wouldn't be here because it ain't in my nose. Come on. There's a devil that is fighting you, telling you you don't have to hear the ministry, that you don't have to go to church, that all you have to do is dream. That is a devil keeping you from your victory. The bride of Christ can't wait till the doors open. The bride of Christ can't wait to worship God. The bride of Christ can't wait to see preaching in motion. Paul said, I don't speak with enticing words. Look, thank God for Paul. I can't associate. I don't speak with enticing words, but I speak in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You know what? That's what the world is scared of. You know what? That's what the devil is scared of. You know what? That's what all of denomination is scared of. Why did they stop and not go on? Because it got too radical for them, and they wanted a set of rules to keep them in line. Come on, church. Where are we at today in the message of the hour? We're at the same exact crossing point. The bride of Christ wants the truth. She wants a Holy Spirit-led church that a preacher can get up and preach what is ordained of God to preach to the word. But everybody else wants, well, I don't like that tape because he was too hard on that tape. You know, I really like the oddball. You know how many times they play oddball every year? Come on, I love the message oddball. I'm an oddball. But look, you know, there's other messages that he preached other than oddball. Come on, church. Y'all know it's true. Y'all know it's true, but the devil wants to hold you back. The devil wants you not to be victorious. The devil is driving. Why? Because he knows it's your day. He knows it's the bride's time. He come against the Hebrew children in their day because he knew they was the living example. He now knows that you are the living example of his word. And God needs you to manifest what he has said. No wonder he fights us so hard. You know, sometimes I lay down and Brother Greg scratch my head at night and go, why in the world does that stupid devil fight me so much? He knows I'm going to win. Well, he fights me so much because he don't want me to win. He wants me to be discouraged. He wants to turn the smile upside down. He wants me to drag my head around and say, oh, wooey, wooey, where is me? Come on. But you know what? I ain't going to let him do it. I'm not going to let him do it. I'm going to worship him in my pain. I'm going to worship him in my torment. I'm going to worship him when the world comes against me. I'm going to worship him when everything goes wrong. I'm going to say, but that is my God. And he's living inside of me. Looked like everything in the world went wrong with them three Hebrew children. Lord, man, they've done, hey, they even gave him a second chance. You ever notice that? The devil loves giving you a second chance not to come to church. Come on. You get up and, man, I'm tired, don't want to go to church, but I'm going to push through. You get in the shower and you go, well, maybe I'm sick. He done gave you a second chance to miss your victory. He going to give you a third chance. He going to give you a fourth chance. He going to give you as many chances as it takes. But you know what? Every chance that you step over makes your victory sweeter. Every chance that you step over makes it more worthy to worship God. Every time you step over and you say, I'm not going back, I'm worshiping God anyway. I'm going to step on top of my trial. I'm going to stand up and say, devil, you ain't got me yet. Why? Because it's my time to shine. If the spotlight is on me now. Oh my, the cloud of witnesses around. Brother Ben, they're saying, would y'all run like we've never run? Come on, I had a thought sitting back down in the back. It takes me a while to catch on to things, but when I do, I like it. I had a thought sitting back down in the back. I wonder if the three Hebrew children knew without a shadow of a doubt that the fourth man was going to walk in the fire, how much more excited they would have been. Come on. Come on. Some of you, I don't think y'all know that you're going to be victorious. Because if you knew you was going to be victorious, that little more happiness on your face, that little bit more shine in your eyes, that little bit more worship in your life, that little bit more time for you to witness to somebody that the same God of David, the same God of Noah, the same God of my prophet, Brother Branham, is the same God that's living in a bride today. It's the same God. Oh my. Brother Branham talking about John the Baptist. Could you see John the Baptist, Brother George, sitting over there? All that he went through. Look, he knew what he was called to do. He was called to forerun the Messiah. And he knew that once he did his job, it was done.
Amen.
There was nothing else for him to do. But he was happy with that.
Yes,
he was happy that God chose him to run part of that race. And he didn't care that Jesus had a bigger part. He didn't care that Moses lived longer. He didn't care who was coming after him. All he did is focused upon what he could handle. He focused upon what God allowed him to do and said, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. You know what? Some of us needs to get our eyes off what everybody else is doing and what God's called everybody else to do and get your eyes on what God's called you to do. Proving his word. He's speaking to John the Baptist. I like what he says here. I'm just going to read it. He says, but God, in the midst of it all, he raised up a prophet, a son of a priest. He said, oh, never. He says, he went into the wilderness for 9 years. He couldn't read his name if it was on a letter the size of a boxcar. Why? Why did he do it? He was a prophet. If he had been trained in the education of his father, he'd have probably been a Pharisee or Sadducee or one of those groups. Or a message theologian.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Come on. You know, that's what's wrong with a lot of message churches. Is the kids have raised up under message theologians. And they ain't got no spirit. Come on, church. They ain't got no spirit to lead them to an everlasting well. But all they do is hang on to how much daddy knew. Well, my daddy did this. And my daddy, I don't care what your daddy did. Let me tell you what my daddy did. He formed the stars from the moon. He formed the earth from the shadow. He created light. And he placed me upon it to worship him. Let me tell you what my daddy did.
Amen.
If he'd have been trained. Come on, church. You see, it's the day we're living in. No wonder they get so mixed up as they sit under their daddy or their grandpa for so long that all they can do is repeat what daddy and grandpa said. But they ain't never got an experience for themselves. No wonder they turn and run from the message. No wonder they try to take the pictures down off the wall and try to act like any other church because they ain't got a conviction of who they really are. And trained in the education of the Father. He'd have probably been a Pharisee or Sadducee or one of those groups. But he had an important job. You have an important job. Oh, but you just don't know. I'm just little. No, you ain't no little nobody. You are Miss Jesus Christ. You are the one that is going to call for a rapture. You are the one that's going to do something that nothing in history has ever been done. And you're going to say, it's time, Lord. He had an important job. That was to announce the Messiah. Because why? Because God kept his word. And he proved it. A voice of one crying from a seminary or a cemetery, huh? Behold, I've got my doctor's degree. He's old. That might be the old lady's birthday almanac. Wow. But not in God's word. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Was he preparing the way of, he said, was he preparing the way of the word then that the word could be made manifest? All right, come on, children of God. God don't change the way he does things. God brought a prophet on the scene from Jeffersonville, Indiana. He took him down to the Ohio River while baptizing people in the Ohio River. And the angel appeared and says, as John forerun my first coming, you shall forerun my second coming. What was it? He had to forerun the message believer. He had to form the bride of Christ to be prepared for the Messiah to come. In his message was everything we have need of to go into a rapture. In his message was every word that we would have need of to overcome every trick of the devil. How can you do away with it? Come on. We keep going back there. Somebody's still struggling. People in this message go, well, I wish we'd just, as message preachers, just start saying what the Bible says. I am saying what the Bible says. The Bible is saying exactly what I say already. You know what I do is I look back at them because, you know, I'm real common. I'm real simple. I look back and said, I'll quit saying Brother Brown said if you'll quit saying Paul said. Come on. Well, but no, nothing. If you want to take a man out of it, take every man out of it. If you'll get rid of it, I'm not going to anyway, but that's not the point. What did they say on the day of Pentecost? Come on. They staggered out of the room. What was he doing? Everybody thought they was drunk on wine. Everybody thought they was falling apart. Everybody thought they'd lost their religion. Everybody thought they'd lost everything that they stood for. Oh, but God. Peter said, let me tell you something. Said, this ain't got nothing to do with no wine. This ain't got nothing to do with no, come on, church. This ain't got nothing to do with no emotion. This ain't got nothing to do with no working you up. It's got everything to do with the Holy Spirit being vindicated to the bride of Christ. No wonder he could sit there and what would he say? He'd just start quoting his prophet. Well, we go read the scripture, but surely you know your scripture. He'd go, you know what? This is exactly what the prophet Joel said. Come on. Why? Because there had to be a prophecy before there was a fulfillment. If the fulfillment was before the prophecy, it wouldn't be prophecy. But God used his prophets to prophesy the coming of the Lord each and every time that he would come. And he used it in our day to prophesy a bride would come into a place that she would become one with her groom and she would rapture out of here. And if he said it, I believe it. Because I'm going to be one of them that morning between 6 and 9 when I start feeling a little twitchy and I realize it's about time. If there's any devil standing around me, they probably will be because they'll still be fighting. I want to look at them and say, hey, this is the day that my prophet, Brother Branham, spoke of between 6 and 9. There's a bride going home. There's a bride. What was it? Led by the Holy Spirit. No wonder money couldn't buy the prophet. Come on, church. Money couldn't buy him. He could have had all the money he wanted. He could have lived in the biggest mansion he wanted. He could have had a fleet of Cadillacs or Lincolns or BMWs or whatever you want to call them. But that ain't what he wanted. He wanted to be led by the Spirit of God. He got ready to move out west and everybody wanted to move with him. And he said, that ain't for you. God told me to move out west. You get in touch with, come on, church. I don't need somebody to tell me where to go to church. I don't need somebody to tell me how to live right. I don't need somebody to tell me to get the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. If I get the Holy Ghost, he'll tell me what to do. Come on. The problem is we're living in a day nobody wants the Holy Ghost. Come on. Y'all pulling. Here we go. Are y'all ready? Everybody wants a Savior, but nobody wants a Lord. Come on. Everybody wants to go to church and have an evangelical, charismatic, good time. Even in message churches, they want to jump up and down and shout and run and say, oh, what a great service we had. But what did he preach on? What did he say? Did he say something to help you? Yeah, he said, well, what did he say to help you? But man, we had a good time. Man, after he got through preaching, we started singing and we run up and down the aisles. Oh, we had a good time. But you know what? That ain't what the bride's looking for. The bride's looking at the word because the word is making her perfect. The word is trimming the rough edges off. The word is bringing her into subjection. Even when she don't like it. Come on. I thought of a marathon runner, okay? We're running a race. You ever noticed a marathon runner? He eats so much celery and salmon, you can't tell me he likes it. Come on. If you tell me he likes it, you're lying to me. The diet that he puts himself on, there ain't nobody in this world likes that diet. You're laughing, but you know it's true. I mean, if you put a ribeye in front of me or a salad, guess what I'm taking? I don't care. this vessel is going to fall away one day, so I ain't really worried about it too much. But he'll put himself through the most unreal expectations to get down to 115 pounds so that he can run that marathon. Come on, children of God. That's what the bride will do. She'll look at the world and she'll say, I have no part of you. I don't care about how bad it hurts this flesh. I don't care how bad it comes against every desire that I have. I don't want no part of it because I got a race to run. And this race may not be natural, but this race is super spiritual. And it's living in this day that I need every aspect that I can get. If it causes me to stay up a little late one night, I'll stay up a little late one night. Come on. If God wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to wake up and pray for somebody. You know what? You know, I can rest when I sleep, when I die. That's what the prophet said. He said, Christians don't really die, they just rest. Come on. Come on. I'll rest and sleep when I die. If God wants us to do something, we need to be instant in season. Oh, that's scripture too, ain't it? Come on, it's the word of God preaching to us, telling us it's our time to fight. It's our time to run. It's our time to stand. It's our time to realize it is your fight. Come on. What is it? He's brought us this far. The scripture says, he that began a work in you, he's going to finish it. Come on. He made me this big a fool for him. No telling how big a fool I'll be before it's over with. Come on. I don't care. Let the world laugh. I don't care. You know what? Because I'm happy in my salvation. I'm happy in what God has given me. I'm happy in eternal life that He's imparted to me. I'm happy when I open the book and I see my name and not him and she no more. I see my name written in the scribes. Why? Because He's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. He that began a good work in you, he shall. What is it? That marathon trainer. He's going to run that race. He spends more hours running than he does eating. He spends more hours running than he does sleeping. He's got a full-time job and he still runs more than he works. Come on. I know y'all feel it coming. But some of us message believers ain't got time to come to church when we get out of work. Come on. But what's the desire in your heart? That marathon runner, he's going to run that marathon. And it don't matter if the weather's bad. It don't matter if it's raining. It don't matter if it's 100 degrees. It don't matter what it is. He's going to prepare for that race. Children of God, we need to prepare for this race. How do we prepare for this race? We come to church. We read a Bible. We pray. We listen to a tape. We get ourselves instant in season and out of season. We allow God to take over our lives and do what he wants us to do. Even when it sounds stupid. Like running 8 miles after work. I ain't doing it. If you want to, that's fine. But I ain't doing it. Remember, 1964, the voice of the sun. John and everything that he had to decrease. Brother Brown says, but as soon as Jesus appeared, he had a sign, a pillar of fire, a light above him. Like a dove, come down a voice saying, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Notice, and John immediately said, he must increase, so I must decrease. He presented the church to Christ. Amen. He says, we're told that in the last days it will repeat again. There's going to be a message come forth that will introduce the Messiah to the people. And it'll be in such a way that they'll stand dumbfounded like they did then. He promised it. The next chapter, Malachi tells us all about it. What? There's coming a day. That day's already come. Come on, children of God. That day's already come. That race is already won. There's not going to be another prophet to rise up to bring another message. The message has already been brought. The seals have already been broke. The thunders have already sounded. Come on, we're living in a day of the manifestation of the word of that prophet. We're not looking for some great intellectual prophet to rise up and tell us what tape to push or tell us where to go to church. We're looking for the Holy Spirit to vindicate the word to our lives. Because we're running the next day's race. Brother Branham said in one place, he said they're always trying to live in the light of another age.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
I don't have the quote, but he said it. And you know what? If we're not careful, we do the same thing.
Yes,
we want to say, oh, how great it would have been if I lived in the prophet's day. You wasn't called to live in the prophet's day.
Right.
Quit saying it.
Right.
Start saying, oh, how great it is to live in the day that God has called me to live in. Oh, how great it is that he's called me to run this race.
Yes,
to run this race. Our heavenly instructions, Colossians 3, very familiar to us, I know. Just a simple message tonight, but I want to encourage you tonight. Colossians 3, put on therefore the elect as the elect of God. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know, we got a lot of work to do. Come on, church, let's just be honest. We got a lot of work to do. Look, somebody approached me wrong, I'm ready to fight. Come on. Come on, we got a lot of work to do, but he gave us the instructions for bearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. You know why some people have, oh gosh, now this is going to hurt. You know why some people have such a hard time forgiving somebody else? Because they've never really felt true forgiveness.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Right.
You can't give forgiveness until you've received it.
Right.
When you can understand how wretched you was,
right.
How miserable you was,
right.
How lost you was,
right.
And God forgive you,
yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Then it's not hard to give it to somebody else.
Right.
When I look at my life,
yes,
and I look at the mistakes I've done,
yes.
And I look at all that I've done wrong and all the times I've run from God, and I realized he forgave me.
That's right.
It ain't no problem for me to stick my hand out and say, God forgives you.
Yeah.
So if he'll forgive me, he'll forgive you.
Yeah.
If you ever get true forgiveness, you won't have a problem with this.
Right.
Come on, it's the same way with grace.
Right.
You can't give grace until you've received grace.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That needs to be preached in message churches.
Amen.
Everybody wants grace for me, but not for nobody else. Come on, church. Running the race. And above all of these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father of him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fit for the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, they like to stop there. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Amen.
And parents, stop there. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Lord, I've been guilty of that. Lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things that your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Come on, that's why the scripture said when we opened it up, he says, when I fight, I don't fight as I'm beating the wind. Look, come on, church. We're running a race for the Lord. He's not calling us to go out here and swing at stuff that ain't even in existence. Come on. We got message believers and message churches that want to go out here and pick fights, and they're just out there swinging in the wind. And the devil's just sitting back watching them, because they don't even have a revelation of who they are, let alone who the devil is. And so the devil ain't worried about them people at all. But he's worried about you and me, because we've caught a heavenly revelation inspired of God. We've realized who we are. We've realized who the enemy is. And when we swing, it ain't no false swing. It's connecting something. Come on. Ask me. I'll listen. I'll fight. I'll run. 1963 Perseverance. I like how Brother Brennan said this. I just come across this evening. He's forming a prayer line. He said, now I want everyone else, he said, have your heads bowed. I want you to get this next sentence. He said, listen close now to your instructions. Come on, church. Listen close to your instructions. He says, if you don't, you're just taking a walk. See, if you ain't listening to the word of God, you're just wandering around in this world, walking around, not getting nowhere. Come on, church. You're just wandering. You're just taking a walk, see? He says, now remember, if God will let me know the conditions and so forth, and you believe that, look, God sent a messenger to reveal this Bible, and he had an eagle eye. And he's seen the time that we're living
in. That's right.
He's seen the conditions of this life. He's seen the conditions that this bride would face.
Yes.
And he gave us every weapon
Amen.
We needed. If God will let me know the conditions and so forth, and you believe that, see, now just take my word. You've got to believe that. This settles it. If it doesn't, it might make you worse. Come on, children of God. We're in a battle. We're running tonight. Don't take your eyes off the prize. Paul says, I keep pressing towards the high mark. Don't take your eyes off the prize. Because those that ain't got the Holy Spirit living inside of them, their eyes are coming off the prize. They're falling beside you. They're falling away. And when they do, they're reaching out and they're grabbing you and trying to take you with them. Come on, that's why they're pushing on you. That's why they're writing letters to you. That's why they're calling you on the phone. That's why they're questioning what you really believe. They're trying to take you with them. But you know what? I've got a higher calling than that. I've got the Word of God in my life. I may not be able to explain all of your questions, but I know the author of this book. And this author has come and lived inside of me, and I'm running a race that I'm not going to fail. Why? Because he said, I wouldn't fail. Come on, Philippians 4 says, I can do all things. You mean even when the world comes against me, all things. You mean when my best friend comes against this message and he tries to bring me out of it, all things. You mean when my own loved ones come against me, all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Brother Canaan talked about Joshua. Look, I love Joshua. He said he walked down there in that river. Brother Canaan talked about it Sunday a little bit. He said he walked down on that river. You know what? He's a warrior mentality. He's a fighter. He's looking at that big, great walled city, and he's trying to come up with a way that he can conquer this city. He knows that God called him to beat that city, but he's trying to do it on his own. Come on, church. See, that's what we mess up is we try to do it on our own. We look at our sickness and we go, well, maybe if we do this, maybe if we do that, maybe if we just ask God. Come on. Maybe if we just forget about all of our training. Maybe if we just forget about how smart that we think we are. Because we ain't smart in God's eyes. Come on, church. Joshua's standing out there on that riverbank and he's looking at that great walled city. And he's going, man, we can't do it this way. And if we come in from the north, they've got the slingshots over there. And if we come in from the south, they got the military over here. And man, there ain't no way into this place. And he looks over and there stands a man with a sword. Look, the fighter mentality, it should be us. If I don't know who that is, I'm going to draw my sword too. And I'm going to say, look, you for me or the enemy? We're going to figure something else right now. When the devil comes into my house, I'm going to stand up with the word of God. And I'm going to go, look, are you for me or are you for the enemy? Because if you for the enemy, I'm fixing to drive you right back out of this place. Come on. You have the power to do that. This is the bride's race. This is the bride's day. You have the authority to look at Satan in the eye and say, you have no business in my house. And he has to listen to you. That warrior would look and says, I come from the captain of the host of the Lord. Boy, it changed things a little bit, didn't it? Come on. Let's put it in our day. What would you do if you stepped out in your backyard? The devil's attacking you from every side. Your wife's sick and the doctors can't help them. Your kid's out running with the world and you don't know what to do with them. Your mind's tormented. You're pulled. You just got off the phone with a guy that's been in the message for 40 years and he just cursed the name of Branham. And you step out in the backyard and say, God, what am I going to do? And you look up and over against the fence stands a man with a sword. And you say, who are you? He says, I come from the captain of the Lord of all. You say, oh, Brother Jonathan, no, I'm not crazy. The same God of yesterday is the same God of today, is the same God of tomorrow. When you need him, he will appear. If you need him to appear, he will appear in flesh for you. If you need him to speak, he will speak to you. If you need to feel his presence while you're laying crying in your bedroom, he will feel his presence. Because he cares for you. You know what I love about Joshua? Many things. But after he had that experience, he wasn't worried about how he was going to attack that wall no more. He said, well, look, if you come from the Lord, just tell me what to do.
That's right.
Come on, church. If the bride of Christ would ever get to that predicament, that she could come into the house of God, she could listen to the preaching of the word, she could listen to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and say, God, what would you have me do with this situation? I know what I need to do. I know what I should do. But what would you have me do? And listen and obey what he tells you to do. You know, after he told Joshua, Joshua still had to do it.
That's right.
Everybody forgets that. Everybody's like, well, up, it's over now. No. Joshua still had to go convince the old people that their parents had wanted to kill Moses. And he had to go convince them, hey, we're going to tear these walls down by walking around them. I bet you there were some people went, this guy has lost his mind. Come on. Kind of like some of you do when the preacher tells you you need to live right. This guy has lost his mind. No, he's lost his mind and gained Christ his mind. Come on. What was it? Mark 16. Our commission. Come on. I'm fixing to close. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth shall not be damned. And all these signs shall follow them that believe. And in my name shall they cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents and they shall drink of any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. What is it that's coming to you and I now? This cloud of witness. This cloud of witnesses standing around. I believe tonight if somehow through whatever means you could call it, if we could tap in, we could hear Moses hollering, keep going. Keep going. We could hear David saying, if you only knew how close he was. If you only knew, victory is fixing to break out. If you only knew. We could hear the woman that touched the hem of his garment look down and say, if you only knew, you're about to touch the hem of his garment. You're about to get your virtue. You're about to get your strength. Don't give up now. The scripture says in one place, don't get weary in well-doing. We're fighting a battle. We're running a race. I've never seen a marathon runner run 25 miles and get to the end and go, oh, I feel great.
That's it.
You ever stood at the finish line? Usually they're all over there going, they're about to die. That's about the way we're going to be when we get there. But it's still going to be time for worship. Come on, church. We're going to fight with everything in us. We're going to run with everything in us. We're going to take this word to the ends of the earth. We're going to take it to everybody that we meet along the way. And who knows, the last one may be waiting for you. James 1 says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer of the word. Luke 9, he says, and Jesus speaking, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And take up the cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and he loses himself and be cast away? So that's what Paul was telling the Corinthians. He says, you know what? I don't care if I am a preacher. I got to look at this daily.
That's right.
Come on. Amen. Come on, look. Man, we got preachers in this message don't even study no more. God help us. God help us. Help me if I ever get to the point that I don't think I need to read no more. Help me if I ever get to the point that I don't ever think I need to push play anymore. Come on, help me if I don't think I need to pray anymore, because I need to every day. I don't want to be a castaway. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory and the Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there will be some standing here that shall not taste death, but they shall see the kingdom of God. Then he would say in Timothy, 2 Timothy, he'd run his race. And he says, for I am now ready to be offered. For the time of my departure is at hand, and I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord and the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Look, we're living at the end of time. And I'm going to close this up. I read this today. I read it in the news. And you got to watch the news, but I read this in the news. We're living at the end of time, children. Don't get weary in well-doing. I really believe it in all of my heart. If we could tap into that cloud of witness, that cloud of witness would try in every aspect to tell us how close we are. Look, I know we've heard it for years, and we allow the devil to shrug it off and say, oh, they're just saying that again, but, you know, 20 years from now, we'll still... No, I don't think so. Amen. You know the war that's going on. Did you hear what President Putin said today? He ordered Russians, I'm going to read what it says, ordered Russians, the first wartime mobilization since World War II on Wednesday, shocking civilians from the Western countries, described as an act of desperation in the face of losing this war, and this war against Ukraine. It didn't go as he planned. He said Putin made the announcement in a televised address in which he also announced moves to annex Warsaw of Ukrainian territories and threatened to use nuclear weapons to defend Russia, declaring it's not a bluff. We're living there. We're living at the end of time. This race is about over. 1964, recognizing your day and its message, Brother Brennan says the past 25 years, Israel has just recognized they're in their homeland for something. It was prophesied that they'd have a gathering again. Hosea said so. He said, oh, we read it in a while. You notice even the prophet quotes the prophet. We read it for a while ago. I ain't got enough time for that. I'm going to go on. We read it for a while now. It says, God help us to understand it, all right? He said, at that time, the bride has recognized the evening light. Come on. We're running the race. We've recognized the evening light. Why? It's shining on you. The spotlight is on you, the bride. It's not on the prophets of old. It's not on Brother Branham. It's on the bride now. The bride has recognized the evening light, just began to recognize. The hungry Pentecost have begun to recognize that them organization hasn't got anything they're looking for. They're so twisted and torn up. See, it's time of recognition. He says, you've got to recognize. He said, the world has recognized, the nations has recognized, science has recognized, and the devil has recognized it's time that he can wreck women, wreck churches, wreck the people. He's recognized it. And God has recognized that there is a people on this earth that he predestinated to life. So all of that's going on, God's going, yeah, but let me tell you something. You may have Russia in a turmoil. You may have the politics in a turmoil. You may be running God out of schools. You may be running him out of government buildings. But let me tell you something. There's a bride standing in 2022 that has recognized who she is. She's recognized the word for her day, and she is in the spotlight. He predestinated her to life. He recognized it this time to send his message. He did it. The people has recognized it, and bride time has recognized the evening light. Amen. Stand with me. Musicians, would you come? We're in a battle.
Amen.
We're running. There's more to it. Y'all took me places I wasn't planning on going. We're in a fight. Don't get weary in well-doing, church. Don't get weary coming to church. Don't get weary in singing songs. Don't get weary in praising God. Don't get weary in witnessing to your family, to your friends. Don't give up hope. Look, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there's no hope in me. But because of him, I had hope. And as long as there's breath, there's hope. I can't stand it when I hear people say, well, there's no hope for my family. Well, you speak for your own family. Because my family's still alive. And my family's still breathing. And my family still has a soul. And I still believe my family can recognize the word for their day. And I'm going to hold to it. Come on, church. Don't give up so easy. We give up our battles too easy. We get sick and, well, I guess I'll just be sick for 2 weeks. No, you don't have to be. Come on, church. Don't give up fighting. If I was in a fist fight, and I fought a few in my days, and a guy hit me across the face and I found myself on my knees, I didn't roll over and quit. I knew the only way to get him back was to somehow get back to my feet. Come on, church. When the devil knocks you to your knees, you need to find something to place your hand on to get back to your feet. You got brothers and sisters around you. You got a church right here. You got somebody that loves you. If you need to reach out and grab my shoulder, reach out and grab my shoulder. I'll stand up with you, get you back to your feet, and get back in the fight. Because we are going to be victorious, Brother Mark. Amen. Let's sing a song.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks for all.
Text him and tell him, but I try to text him when I think about it and try to keep him in our prayers. Brother George being back from this weekend. And look, we need to pray for one another.
Yes.
Amen. We need to pray for our pastor.
Yes.
We need to strengthen him. We need to hold him up.
Yes.
We need to stand as a church and hold each other up. Amen. As we dismiss the online audience, Sunday, 9:45, children's choir, 10, Sunday school, 10:30. Adult Sunday school, and 11 back to the house of God for worship. So, man, let's just sing again. But Mark, you got something.